Good day. Welcome to Business Day. My name is Luca Nyomnyanda, the editor of Business Day, and we're here with me is Lindy Donnelly, the economics writer, and we are here to discuss the budget, which is coming up on Wednesday, February the 26th. Lindy.
Lucanio, hello.
Welcome.
Thank you. Yeah.
Whenever people start talking about something being the most important or being the biggest since democracy, it can sound a bit of a cliche. So I'm wondering with this budget whether that actually applies or whether, if anything else, whether it is going to be the most difficult or not, if not the most important.
I think it's quite a few people have said this. I mean, some people are talking about it as if it is the most important budget since the dawn of democracy, so since our 1994 breakthrough into democracy, and others have pointed out that, you know, it's actually the most important in, I guess, the last 10 years. So if you factor in a decade of an administration that has seen substantial deterioration in our fiscal metrics, and obviously we had the 2009 financial crisis, and we started at that point in a very different place fiscally. And now, 10 years later, despite the fact that we're not facing a internationally instigated crisis or recession, we're in a far worse off position than we were 10 years ago
Talking about those numbers, I mean, when you compare them, it does look, it's quite striking. When you think in 10 years ago, when Trevor Manuel presented his last budget as finance minister, I think our debt to GDP ratio was closer to 23-24%. I think budget deficits then, we were talking about 3%, that kind of level. At the moment, I think, like in your story you did yesterday or on Monday, I think the debt to GDP ratio currently is 61-62%, and we're looking at deficits about 6% for the next 3 years. It's quite a striking change. How did we get there? Can you take us a little back?
Indeed, it is quite a substantial change. And if we go back to 2009, I think it was very clear at the time that government had a plan to try and kind of spend us out of the problems that we were facing and that the rest of the globe was facing. We went into extensive fiscal spending just to keep growth ticking over and keep us going. But I guess that spending never stopped. And as we continued spending, we saw massive deterioration in state-owned entities, many of them getting caught up in what we now know as the state capture project. We saw extensive erosion of the capacity at SARS, which we know has had an impact on the revenues that the economy is able to collect or that government is able to collect. And at the same time, we've had just very dismal growth, and a lot of that unhappiness filtering into low business confidence, policy uncertainty, and so South Africa's economy hasn't really been able to grow, even at the same kind of levels that we've seen in the global economy as it's recovered, and even in an environment of low interest rates and free money flows, we haven't seen SA's economy able to kind of hook itself onto that and take advantage. And so, yeah, are where we are.
I mean, just by looking, I mean, reading a Business Day on the website today, you just see what our most popular stories today are all to do with the budget. I mean, our leaders are on the rand, and then you got your story about the preview, and we've got Stuart Theobald's column. So, a lot of interest on the budget. So, what are people expecting, or what do you think? What are Tito Mboweni's options? I mean, is anything he can deliver that might change the mood?
Look, I think. It was very clear from the MTBPS, the finance minister kind of knows what he has to deliver on, and that is the 150 billion in savings that he needs to find from that budget somewhere, somehow. And so, I mean, I think the big debate is where it's going to come from. Is it going to come from additional revenue resources, or is it going to come from savings? And it's quite clear that there's quite a lot of debate around what his options are. The big bad question of a VAT hike has been proposed. Many analysts are saying that it's simply the most efficient. And while it's not going to have no impact, it might have the least harmful economic impact, in terms of raising the levels of revenue that we need. But many other analysts are saying there's just no ways economically, growth-wise, considering the constraints consumers are already under, a VAT hike is just not an option. So I don't know. The minister has to pull a rabbit out of a hat. Whether he can do it or not still remains to be seen.
This reminds me of an often used quote from, I think it was Jean-Paul Juncker, who was the head of the European Commission at the height of the crisis there. And then he said that the problem is not that we don't know what to do. We know what to do, but what we don't know is how to do it and still stay in power or win elections. So politically, like, what is actually possible rather than what is needed?
Well, obviously, I mean, so if we look at that 150 billion, and that is over the three years of the medium-term expenditure framework, so the 3 years that government looks into. So that's about 50 billion a year. I mean, the finance minister has said, and he said this at the MTBPS, the last place left for government to really find savings is going to be in the public sector wage bill. And the difficulty here is really convincing unions that they need to take a pay cut or at least request pay increases that are more in line with inflation. We have in the last few years seen routinely above inflation wage increases for public servants. But obviously, the public sector unions have a very different view of this, and they want to see much less wastage in the system. They want to see if, you know, public servants, policemen, teachers, nurses are going to be taking pain. They want to see similar pain being taken at the top levels of the political echelon. We want to see the cabinet putting forward some potential ideas about how to make cost savings. So, I mean, some analysts believe, for example, that the unions understand the severity of the problem and are perhaps willing to come on board. Others think that any kind of negotiation at this point is unlikely just because of the practicalities of the fact that the current wage agreement ends next year. So you're not going to get major savings made in this budget cycle or in this budget year. We're going to have to perhaps look to the outer years to find those savings. And I mean, no matter what you look, you know, no matter what side of the fence you're looking at, whether it's savings on the wage bill and more pain for public servants and their back pockets, or whether it's increases in taxes, it's very likely we will have tax increases. Whether it'll be a VAT hike or not of that extent, we don't know. But it will definitely there will be additional revenue sources found. Whether it's in taxes or there will be less adjustments for inflation and bracket creep, we don't know, but that's very likely. But all of these choices are politically unpalatable. That's what I'm trying to say. Either way, you are going to make one constituency unhappy, your public sector unions or your taxpayers and your consumers who have to bear the brunt of tax hikes at the end of the day.
No, what's been quite hard to read is actually the market reaction or the market's expectations. I mean, if you look, okay, the rand is weakened fairly and settled above 15 to the dollar now, but if you look at the bond market, it's actually been quite resilient. The bond yields haven't risen that much, so I'm not sure whether this is a sign that people are like thinking he'll pull something out of the rabbit, or whether just like a sign of low expectations. what would be your view?
I don't know. This is far be it from me to try and understand what the markets are seeing in this, but I do think that we've heard from a lot of analysts that actually this budget isn't likely to shoot out the lights. It's probably going to be disappointing rather than uplifting. And so, you know, this kind of low expectation is priced in, and so is a Moody's downgrade, and we'll just move on from there. But, you know, I mean, assuming we are going into this budget with low expectations, you know, maybe even a little bit of positive news out of what the minister has to say could see a positive reaction, but you know, that's perhaps wishful thinking on my part.
Just to wrap up, actually, like you did mention Moody's, that was going to be my last question. What's your anticipation for Moody's going forward? For people at home, just to explain, no, because Moody's is the last ratings company that has us on investment grade. So the risk is that if they move us, some people would say that, you know, you could see a massive fall or like outflows from our bond market, but some people say it's already in the price. So how big of a factor is Moody's here going forward?
I don't think there's much debate. We know that Moody's rating is important. We know that it is likely to have an effect on the currency, even if it is an initial knee-jerk reaction before things settle down. There have been, Moody's has been saying pretty consistently that it needs to see a few things. It needs to see savings on the wage bill. It needs to see if it's to improve growth. And I think if the budget can provide some convincing evidence that these things are being done and that we will successfully be able to rein in our debt trajectory, at least show that if it's not going to be going down, that at least it will steady and not continue to rise, then perhaps we have a chance. Some people are saying there's an outside chance that we may escape a downgrade, but I guess we'll just have to wait and see. I think people are pretty pessimistic about what our debt trajectory is going to look like and the debt to GDP ratio. Some arguing that it's likely to be worse than what was forecast in the MTBPS. And obviously deficits, unless we make these major savings and we can reduce debt, we're not likely to get our deficit within a steadier path. So I don't know. I'm at that side of the fence. I don't know. At this stage, I don't know. I'm very glad it's the minister that has this job.
It may or may not be the most important budget in post-apartheid South Africa, but it probably won't be, or should I say definitely won't be the most boring one, that's for sure. Looking forward to seeing what you write after the event. Thank you very much.
You too.
Thank you for joining me today. And from us, that is it. Thank you for listening.